How did, like, coming to New York, like, because I know New York was so alive in the 60s in the Village and everything. Tell me about that time period.
I was very fortunate. I mean, I always say, in 1964, I was drinking French wines for a buck that today would cost $2,000-$3,000 if you find them. And that's a fact. So I was fortunate in the sense that I come into a United States who is opening up to a lot of things racially, sexually. I have a great admiration for the 20th century. This is the century that, historically speaking, faced for the first time so many things that we didn't dare face. I mean, we lived 2,000 years exploiting women, exploiting children, racially diminishing each other, sexually diminishing each other, not accepting alternative ways of sexuality, like, you know, being gay or whatever. You know, one of my daughters is gay, and it's an open thing in my family, it's no big deal. But this is a 20th century situation, and we owe it to this 20th century that dealt with this heroically. This is, to me, the true heroism of the 20th century, and not its fucking wars. You know? There's no heroism in war. There's heroism in dealing with your wife at home in a decent way, or with a friend in the daily relationship, if you want to consider friendship something sacred and something important, and something that means growth for the two friends, you know? So that I have a great admiration for that 20th century, and I come in the 60s when, you know, this is post-World War II with all that means, but it's also pre-Vietnam War, which is the first highly unjust war that the United States is engaged with after the glorious World War II. So the sense of resistance and the sense of hell no, we won't go, was exciting. And it's dead now in this country. To be fair, it's dead now in the entire Occidental world, and let's forget about the Oriental world, which is totally oppressed. So the contrast to me is so clear. And when my children sit with us at home and I begin to talk about the 60s, they ask me to stop talking because it hurts them. It hurts them in the sense that, Dad, we are slaves, we are caught in a situation where, you know, there's no present, there's no future economically. You were poor and you were richer than we are. So don't talk about this, it hurts. You know? And there's a kind of, you know, like envy or jealousy, or, man, you were lucky. I always say luck is an element of one's life and one's reality, but luck also has to be recognized. When I entered the American system, the American university system, I was very fortunate, very fortunate. But as a poet, I realized that this is it for me. I recognized that the American university system was going to give me enough of a salary to support the family. My wife never worked. My wife raised the children orthodoxly, you know? And it was going to give me all the freedom that only a multimillionaire can have. So, you know, I spent 32 years in New York City, living fairly well. I always had a second house in Spain. I always had 4 months a year free. I caught a plane on the 28th of May, went to my house in Spain, and wrote. The dream of a poet, the dream of a writer. There was nothing in there that called for being self-destructive. It was healthy, but you had to recognize the good luck. You had to recognize that the system was giving you something that, if you handled properly, it meant that you could be the writer that you think you are. This can be applied to a writer, but it can be applied to any citizen. It can be applied to any citizen. So yes, there is luck, but yes, there is also recognizing situations clearly. And I had that clarity of mind, as I say in Zen Buddhism, that allow me to see the issue, grab the situation to my favor, somehow exploit it a little bit, but decently. You know, I believe in decency, and at the same time, do my thing. It was a very rich period. I mean, I come from Cuba having read the French symbolists in lousy, third-rate translations. reading Mallarmé or Baudelaire or Rimbaud or Verlaine in those translations, you know, it was a great opportunity, having so far only read the Cuban poets or the Cuban heroical literature, you know, and not much beyond that. Here I come to the States, age 20, what's the first thing that I encounter? Lorca's Poet in New York, in a bilingual translation, that is to say the Spanish and the English, but I encounter Kenneth Rexroth and his books on Japanese and Chinese poetry.
Yeah.
Changes my life. This could not have happened in Cuba.